going to take up item five, which is our reports item. And item 5A is trustee reports on meetings, seminars, and conferences. Are there any trustee reports?
We attended the SACRA 2025 Spring Conference, May 13th through the 16th in Rancho Mirage. I know Jay has to get out of here early, so I'll try to keep this to 45 minutes.
We have an investment.
I went down early for Tuesday for the disability training, which is called Beyond the Application. And although it was, the speakers were knowledgeable and did a great job, and they were sometimes entertaining presentation, it seemed like it was focused on the training of the staff to appreciate the various difficulties faced by applicants during the disability retirement application. And it basically, I didn't feel like it really had any real bearing on what we do and our decision making. And so I wouldn't say if it was going to be that way again, I would say it's best for the staff to go. And I think Christina even said that she might invite one of the speakers to come to speak to the staff, which I think would be a good idea. But just for the trustees, I just didn't feel that I got much out of that particular case. The keynote session was Defying the Odds. This was a story, or a woman, Molly Bloom, who basically, it was a highly entertaining story of a young girl who became a millionaire during the 2000s. She became known as the Poker Princess for organizing high-stakes underground poker in Los Angeles, which attracted a lot of high A-list actors, politicians, and the mob. She related how she was arrested by the FBI and forfeited $10 million of the money that she'd earned from her gambling enterprise. She said that she wrote a book about her life, and she thought that it only sold 10 copies, and she believed firmly that her mother bought those. But she was very adamant that people should know about it, and so she talked a well-known movie producer into making a movie. It's called Molly's Game, and it was nominated for Academy Award. I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but it sounded like it'd be something to be entertaining and worthwhile. General session, this was a take on a virtual farm tour with Carl Evers. And I have to say that I felt very much like it was a sales pitch to try to get me to come out to the farm and talk me into investing money. And it just, to me, I didn't think that went over as well as most of the other ones did. So again, I was highly impressed with that one. We went on to Bitcoin, the sound money and institutional adoption. It was a typical conversation about Bitcoin, the challenges, the payouts. While the conversations about cryptocurrency, this one was really pretty informative and more understandable than most that I've gone to. And I have to say that, you know, with what they had to say, I've even started looking into the BlackRock EFT, and I got a couple extra dollars. I might just play with it just to see how it goes. You know, they say don't invest more than you can lose, so I'll definitely do that. Wednesday afternoon were the breakout sessions. I attended the safety breakout. We had 17 attendees, and Samson and his comfort dog were there, the big hit. And they did have two other city police agencies there. A lot of discussion about current trends in police and fire recruiting, benefits, and the bills working its way through the legislature. I don't know if Louis has anything else to add to that or not.
Yeah, we just talked about mainly PTSD. Code versus the labor code and stuff, and everybody was pretty much wanting to leave it the same and not add anything to the government code for Searle. But that's basically what we discussed in depth. A lot of the agencies basically felt that, hey, you got somebody that might have had PTSD and they waived it or it triggered it after they came to your agency, you buy it. And same thing with regular disabilities. If the city or county waives the the medical for an injury and the person re-injures it, you buy it, and because of the waive. But that's the discussion we had on that.
Okay. Thursday had a geopolitics and international finance call, get the full scoop on what's happening now. The group, the moderator, felt the need to put more pressure on Putin to end the war in Ukraine. Time is now on his side, and he feels that he can outweigh Trump. Oil embargo has hurt Russia more than the U.S. U.S. is learning advanced drone technology from Ukraine. Iran may be feeling more vulnerable after losing support from many of its allies like Hezbollah, Syria, Hamas, Houthis, and Yemen. The general feeling is that we should lift some sanctions on Iran if they will guarantee some positive results. Taiwan versus China is dangerous, but not explosive at the moment. There's something that China may make some limited incursions, but the feeling is there's too much economic pain in a war, and there's little likelihood that they're going to take on a full-blown invasion. America is too soft or dependent, and China thinks that we will blink first. U.S. military status seems to be improving and recruitment is increasing. Then we had a holistic view on investing in Asia and how Asia impacts earnings around the globe. Panel participants were China, Japan, and India. One of the things that came out right away is that apparently India thinks that Trump is their messiah. The job growth is not keeping up with the demand there. There are too many young people searching for well-paying careers that are not available. One thing that I thought was really good is they pointed out that the word India, spelled I-N-D-I-A, stands for I will never do it again, so, regarding investing in India, so I thought that was pretty good. India started allowing private investment in 1980. Indian panelists was very hard to understand and really talked fast. Just only got a little bit of that. There's China's representative said there's much directional antagonism in China and the people are extremely competitive. Both the U.S. and China provide approximately 13% of the world economy, and near-term uncertainty and this challenging past could affect the U.S. similarly. China is a top-down authoritarian and bottom-up, they are capitalistic. As in the U.S., the aging population is a problem. Their property values are in double-digit decline, and labor supply shortages can be inflationary, i.e. the raise of pay to attract qualified candidates, which is the same in the U.S. China also has concerns about AI and autonomous driving. Private equity is very active in China. They're very good. They are very good investment returns there. China investment is still attractive, but some domestic difficulties are still an issue. Japan wanted to make sure that we were aware they're not in an emerging market. Japan has a digital deficit, which means it does not have enough industry and need more digital infrastructure development. There's no Japanese Silicon Valley. Japan companies and individuals have a lot of money to invest, and there are tax incentives to get private households to invest more. Their slogan right now is Japan is back, and their domestic dynamics are really positive. There was another group called Outside the Box, a CIO panel discussion that basically was regarding team building and greater risk of within the greater risk of recession, unemployment, and hiring. A lot of talk about inflation, slower growth in the future. Businesses will be crushed by Trump's tariffs, and they are damaging to our trade agreements that have been in place for decades. Question, will the U.S. dollar decline in the next decade? No. In the next 12 months, who knows? Then they had a sophisticated investors should consider an allocation of bitcoins in their portfolio. Again, this was one of the concurrent sessions, and I wasn't going to go to it because I felt I'd probably heard enough about Bitcoin. But I have to say that it was really some interesting information that I'd never had given in previous sessions. There was a follow-up. Santa Clara Valley Transit Agency in 2021 came to one of the SACRs conferences and talked about that they were going to be investing in Bitcoin, and their investment officer was there to discuss how that has gone, and apparently I did not get the exact amounts of how well they've done, but the way he talked, it sounded like they've done pretty darn good as far as their investment in Bitcoin from 21 till now. So Bitcoin started in 2009, and there are only 165,000 Bitcoins mined each year. There will only be 21 million maximum, and the demand is three times the supply. And there's always the FOMO, which is fear of missing out. So there is a feeling that the value could go to 100 million for each Bitcoin. Right now, they were saying it was 160,000 each whenever we were at the conference. I just heard on the radio this morning it was 163,000. So in a week, it's gone up 3,000.
No shortage of greater fools to buy Bitcoin.
That's right. And I had the, I'm looking for my legislative session here. Basically, the legislative session was pretty much exactly what I reported on with the Ventura conference that we had. There were a few other things that were a little bit different, but I'm not. Okay, I must have not printed out the last page. And then the final day, I did notes on the final day. There was one session in the morning. Basically what it was a group that was, or a gentleman that was comparing, well, I guess it was Chiron. Chiron was comparing, and you were part of that presentation, where SACR stood with private investments. As far as he had various slides that would show each one of the 20 SACRs counties in relation to the private investment and retirement groups throughout the United States. You want to go a little bit more into that one?
It was a comparison of the 20 SACRs counties to retirement plans throughout the country. And the SACRs plans were doing very favorably, comparatively speaking. So,
now, apparently, there were little dots on the, and if you put your mouse on the little dot, it would tell you which place you were in. But he didn't go through that and show where each one of the counties was. He did pick on Tulare County a little bit because, you know, they looked like they were way down the list. But I guess it was because they were over 100% for a while, and they've dropped down, which made it look like they're really doing badly. But they're still, I guess, in the 90s, so they went several times and said, we're not picking on Tulare, but they were. So anyway, that's my report. We had the business meeting after that, and I voted the way I was instructed to do, and that was the end of that.
Well, thank you for your very detailed report, and for those of you who attended SACRs, you've been absolved of the reporting obligation.
I want to add
yes.
One thing,
go ahead, Louis.
Was talking about on that Bitcoin breakout, it was interesting because he said the volatility is similar to the stock market, which was for the Bitcoin, which was very interesting. He didn't really elaborate on it, but when he said that, I was like, huh? It's like, where did he get that from? And the same thing, he says, if you put 2% into Bitcoin, you lose 1%, you can make that 1% up with your total portfolio by the end of the year, was another comment he made, and it was very interesting.
Yeah, I'm never going to understand Bitcoin. I mean, I understand it in terms of what it is, but I've said before, I'm a Jamie Dimon, Warren Buffett guy on this, that to me, when all the complexity and sales aspect and shiny object aspect gets removed, it requires someone to buy it at a higher price than you did. And there has to be a reason for that, and it has no inherent asset value. Other than that, I wish you all well if you're in it. And good luck to you.
Scott?
Yes.
I was not at the meeting, so it's odd for me to suggest this, but it seems to me we ought to acknowledge that Dr. McDonald is now immediate past president of Sackers. So he's concluded his term, and having gone to a couple of meetings, it was good to see him grow into that spot as well as he did, and I think we should be pleased that we had that representative from Sackers, or two Sackers from Cicero.
So absolutely. Congratulations. Chair Emeritus, or President Emeritus. Right? Any other reports from trustees?
Yeah, I went to the IFEBP legislative update in D.C., got home late last night, and I took copious notes on this conference to report out. Jay will be happy to hear that I inadvertently left those notes at home.
Thank goodness.
I had quite a bit written out. So I'll just tell you what off the top of my head. So there was one of the keynote speakers invoked a military term called VUCA, V-U-C-A, and what they say in a firefight. And the V stands, this is looking at our current situation and what's going forward. But V stands for volatility, U for uncertainty, C for complexity, and A for ambiguity, which really does apply to our current situation. Anyway, most of the discussion was regarding the upcoming vote for the One Big Beautiful Bill Act and the potential implications of that if it passes. So the concern was as we heard earlier from Scott, the increase in the deficit. And also with the downgrade from Moody's that actually increased the interest payments on our national debt substantially. So it's worrisome. The OBBBA would make cuts in Medicaid of about $800 million if everything passes as is written. There would be $45 to $50 billion to go to building the wall. Increase in defense spending by $175 billion, and border security increase to $70 billion aside from the wall. Anyway, that was most of the talk at that conference and the concerns associated with it. This is supposed to go to the Rules Committee, I think maybe in the middle of the night tonight or tomorrow, and then after that we'll see what happens. There's still some tension and controversy amongst even Republicans on this and how they're going to vote. It's still kind of up in the air. So we'll see what happens. That's that.
Thank you. Any other comments or reports from trustees? Not hearing any, so I'll turn it over to Christina's staff reports.
So our go-live date with Sagitech is currently June 27th. We have Sagitech coming on site the first 2 weeks of June to do refresher training to the staff, which is leading to my next thing, March retirements. It's great that all of our March retirements have been put on payroll. So,
wow. It's awesome.
Yes. Retirement services staff did amazing. They really understood the crunch that we have with the new system going live in June and getting those March retirements out. The auditor's office over at the county was able to get our file to us early so we could start processing those. And so definitely want to thank them for that. And then we're looking at, we had 141 retirements, 130 of them had complete paperwork that we could process. And so all 130 were on payroll within 41 days. So once again, great job by staff and really understanding that we're coming into a crunch time in June. And then speaking of June, our next board meeting is June 4th, and the building is having a cornhole tournament. So they will have the visitor spots blocked off. So they have told us that when you come, you can, of course, park in the Cicera visitor spots, which are on the other side of the building, or anywhere else in the parking lot that you find.
Excellent. Any other staff reports?